Welcome, change agents. I am so glad that you're here. This is Cheryl Klein, and you're listening to the Fearless Female Leadership Podcast. So today is an extremely special day. I'm here with Jessica, who is the Chief People Officer at ProLink. I am so excited to share some of your wisdom today and really grateful for your time. Jessica, welcome.
Thank you, Cheryl.
So before we jump into it, I was wondering if you could share a little bit about maybe what inspired you to greatness, or maybe what was difficult that you had to overcome that really started your upward trajectory and your leadership journey.
Thanks for the question, and happy to share a little bit of background. So like many of your other listeners or folks you probably interact with day to day, I am a first generation college grad for my family. I would also share that while, you know, that is a very can be a very tall ladder or tall mountain to climb, had faced some adversity earlier on in my aspiration to get to college. And by adversity, I think we all have our own story, but I found myself in a peculiar situation as a teenager, as a teenage mom. So that was quite surprising and new as a teenager, and sharing that news with my parents, which was not necessarily what they had planned for me as a student in high school. But I will say that the inspiration that I found, so I have a wonderful son who now had 26 wonderful, amazing years together. But what I would certainly share is that my mother was a true advocate for me in that journey. And many things, as you can imagine, are swirling, various levels of maturity to deal with what I was facing, and certainly differing opinions across the education and community in terms of influence of what I should be doing with my life at that point in time. And so I mentioned the first generation college grad, because I think that's really important to understand that while my mother knew I was a strong student, I really wanted to pursue college, there's also this balance of now I'm going to be this new mother going into what would become finishing my high school years and college years. And I say that in a way of which not only did she speak for me, as I think many mothers often speak for their daughters and their other children, but she showed me some advocacy absolutely in an area where she was very unfamiliar. She finished high school but had not pursued a college education outside of finishing high school. So it was very unfamiliar territory. It was something that she knew I felt very strongly about, but certainly required a balance. And so my mother advocated for me in a way in which I think about the parent I want to be. I think about the female leader I want to be. I want few people to feel sponsorship, even in an area that may cause me discomfort in terms of sponsorship for them. I want to make sure that I'm using my voice, as my mother did for me, in a way that created a path and created a lane for me to pursue my dream, even though I had been met with what felt like at the time something well outside of my maturity to deal with. So not only did my parents, certainly my dad as well, but my parents absolutely created not just advocacy for me to pursue college, but also created that lane where there were many voices across the school district and the community district sharing what they believed I should be doing or how I should be doing that. So, I think about the strength and the courage, the unfamiliarity of territory that it took for my mother to step in, not only as on my behalf, but in a way in which she created a pathway for me to pursue college. So I'm forever grateful.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, what an amazing example, because if you put yourself in your mother's shoes, you know, she opened herself up to being judged or being hurt, and so it's just such an amazing role model and probably springboard for you to, a lot of times when you're a mentor or when you're sticking up for someone, especially someone who may be, marginalized with
in our gender or something like that, it can be difficult and we open ourselves up for criticism. So that is such an amazing role model. And also it's pretty exciting. And I'm sure she's incredibly proud of you and what you've done up to this point.
Absolutely. And I am forever grateful, but you're right in a way of saying that not only took courage for her, but I imagine navigating this space of unfamiliarity. I'm sure she questioned at times, am I maneuvering in the right way? Am I doing the right things? I remember at one point in time, even applying to college, I'm like, oh, it costs $40 to apply. My mom's like, it costs money to go spend money at school. Like it really was an unfamiliar territory. Now that, I have a little bit more time or decades, I suppose, under my belt. I'm like, sure, it costs to apply, to lots of things or in a lot of, to any school. But again, that's just one really simple example of just not understanding the territory that she was helping me navigate and what it took from her to stand up and lead as an advocate on my behalf. So I'm forever grateful. And you're right. In some way, it was also reminded me be present and aware of others who I may need to pull along with me, just like she did for me.
Yeah. And I'm guessing that you didn't say to her, you must stand up for me and you must do this. It was just something that she just put on that hat and ran with it. And it almost makes me reflect on, well, based on what she did, what's, one thing that we can do to be a proactive advocate for someone that might make us uncomfortable. So I think your mom is continuing to, inspire you and now hopefully inspire the people who are leading to speak up for people, not be reactive, but just be, take the initiative to do that. And so, in your career journey, has it kind of been a straight shot from when you started? Have there been some twists and turns, any tumbles, anything you care to share, and any wisdom along the way?
All of the above, Cheryl, as I imagine most probably comment. I would certainly say my journey has not been fully linear, but I would certainly say I learned the most, admittedly, from the tumbles or the setbacks. And as I mentioned early on, my first pursuit or undergraduate was actually in criminal justice. And so did several years of a tour, a professional tour, if you will, inside of a juvenile correction facility, and really loved the work. But it is social work. It's government work. And decided when I was pursuing a graduate program, hey, I'm going to pursue this thing called HR. Really had not worked inside of a for-profit organization. And so, even thinking about how do I pursue this thing, there was always this question in my back of my mind of, am I pursuing something that, I can get in front of? Am I going to be successful at it? Does it make sense for me? How will I ever pivot? All of these other folks who have been here longer than I have or have a step ahead of me are going to be that much further along. But the reality is, removing that doubt and learning from certainly questioning yourself, but making a very intentional decision to continue to move forward, I think you learn the most. My career has not been linear, as I mentioned already. What I would certainly say is that I've learned a lot by staying put sometimes and learning from others. I think that there's always a strong desire or even a feeling that we should always be thinking about what's next. And that's important to be proactive and be planful, be intentional, always, challenge yourself for more, but challenging yourself for more can also be challenging yourself and, and stretching in ways inside of, maybe it's your role today that you want to learn more about, or maybe it's also taking a lateral move. I would certainly say that, one of the best things I've done for my own career is, at the time, I didn't think it was the best thing, but it was, the opportunity in front of you is taking some lateral turns, figuring out other jobs inside of an organization or changing organizations, but taking something that at the time feels flat. And, is that rewarding because it doesn't come with a title change or a promotional recognition? But I would certainly say that I've learned the most taking tours across organizations or expanding in project work more so than any promotion that I've ever been a part of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's really good to know. And sounds like you were able to kind of set ego aside and take a higher look and what is best, you know, what is best for me right now. And I think that's a really important thing to consider. And, you know, I know that, you know, in our conversations prior, when we were offline, that ProLink is a very, you know, hybrid first. And also that it seems like your employees are very happy. And I'm sure that happy employees do a lot of amazing work. So can you share some of, I don't want to say secrets, but some of the philosophies behind being virtual first, and maybe why ProLink is a little different than some other companies and why it's so great?
Absolutely. So we'll certainly say that ProLink is grounded in what's called a virtual first principle. We have intentionally used the word virtual. We're staying away from the language of remote because we don't want people to feel isolated. And that is a setback that can occur in a virtual or remote environment when folks are working in standalone positions in a work environment that doesn't include maybe others, maybe your dog or your cat or your husband, whatnot. It does allow us to really be principled in what can come from flexibility. So we've got flexibility that we want to be really mindful of. Our organization predominantly supports healthcare systems coast to coast. And so if you think about how does a healthcare system operate, you go to the emergency room 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So there's always on mentality inside of the client's network in which we support. Well, we may not position ourselves to be always on because there's some reasonability, right, components around how we bring in our workforce and how we manage our workforce. The flexibility that virtual first can offer allows us to pivot coast to coast in a way that gives people the ability to modify their schedules periodically in a way that works to support their clients, but also is conducive to, let's say, their lifestyle or wherever they are in terms of season of life. So the philosophy is really rooted in a how do we support a client that may expect that we're always on without setting that same expectation for our own organization, right? Culturally, we want to make sure that we have highly engaged people. People feel the autonomy and the authority to manage their own schedule, but do the work that we need them to do in a way in which is responsible and holds them accountable. So it's a really important component that we balance this always on mentality based upon the client expectation, but also understood that that is a really hard thing to be culturally. We did not want to separate ourselves. We didn't want to separate or segment our fracture is probably a better word. We don't want to fracture the culture that we already had. So the flexibility that virtual brings to us has been of uber importance. As you can imagine, I've already shared, I am a mother. I'm a mother of four, actually. So besides my son, I have three more following him. But as a mother of four, I mean, I remember the days, I don't have anybody who's in childcare today, but it's costly. And so, we afford, the ability to work in different time zones. Maybe that time zone is conducive to getting your kids to school, so you're not paying someone else to do it, or getting your kids off of the bus, so you're not paying someone else to do it, because you can get your work hours in. In your work that you're accountable for before, kids leave for school or after they leave for school. So there's a cost saving component in terms of that flexibility that I think is afforded and appreciated by our workforce. The other component, and I'll share that I don't think that this is foreign to anyone during the pandemic, especially because we were all forced to go home at some point for a small period of time. But what we quickly found with the prolific growth we were experiencing in our organization is we needed to go where the talent lived. We can no longer say we have a Cincinnati office and we're hiring people to work in Cincinnati, regardless of whether you're coming into the office or not. So there's a real large world of talent out there, and everybody is fighting for probably a very limited, what feels like a limited pool of professionals. And so one way in which we combated that was very much saying, hey, we are principled and virtual first. This is the work. Let's go where the talent lives, rather than limiting ourselves into a very localized net or localized limited pool where maybe only X amount of professionals live in this geography and have accessibility into one of our offices. So some of it was grounded in a way of we don't intend to fracture our culture. And some of it was very much grounded in a necessity to respond to what was happening in the talent pool.
Go to where your talent is. That sounds like even post, if I can say post pandemic, even though I still know people that seem to be getting COVID, but post pandemic, that is going to be really important for retention and even attracting talent.
For sure.
And so if you are going to give a takeaway and maybe some advice or nuggets of wisdom that you have gleaned on your journey, what do you want to leave everyone with?
I would certainly maybe go back to some of the things that I had said made me who I am today as a human, as an individual, as a leader, as a woman. Be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Everything is everything short term, right? So enjoy the good ride, enjoy the opportunity, enjoy the rewarding things. But be okay being uncomfortable. Be okay being living in a moment of discomfort, because that too will pass, and you will learn quite a bit about yourself and your own capabilities if you live in this moment of discomfort. That is really when I think we grind in or we bear down as individuals and learn what we're made of. So I would certainly say, if I left anyone, if I was speaking to my younger self or to others out there who are just figuring out how to make their way forward, I would say be comfortable and lean into discomfort, challenge yourself, right? To take on things that maybe you don't feel accomplishable or something that you can master right away. So I would certainly say that. The other thing I would say is always show up. And one of the things I learned really early on, and this is from a leader I had, probably midway in my career, and sharing with him something really, oh, I was so embarrassed. I don't remember what it was. That's the point, is it's inconsequential now. The advice he gave me in the moment was, I said, I can't even go to that meeting. I'm so embarrassed. I'm just going to send this email or whatever it was. He was like, always show up. And that stuck with me. Go be present. Fill your space. Use your voice. People make mistakes. It's okay. What's really important is that you own it. You're showing up, you're representing yourself or the others who you have a responsibility to. And so I would certainly say those are the two things that I wish I knew earlier on. It's okay to be uncomfortable. You grow significantly, probably more so there than anywhere else. And always, always show up and fill your space.
Mm-hmm. I love that so much, to always be bold and show up. And sounds like you mean have a bigger voice and fill your space. Jessica, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. I love all of your, to your continued success at ProLink, and I look forward to following your journey.
Thank you, Cheryl. I appreciate you having me on today.
If you've enjoyed this episode, follow or subscribe to the Fearless Female Leadership Podcast with Cheryl Klein on whatever podcast platform you use. We'll let you know every time we release a new episode. And if you really enjoyed what you've heard so far, rate and review us too. That's one of the best ways that you can support us and make sure that this podcast keeps going. I also offer a significant library of free mental toughness and high performance videos, worksheets, tips, and other helpful content on my website at www.cherylklein.com, including a Fearless Female Leadership Checklist on how to prepare mentally and tactically for your next crucial conversation. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Cheryl Klein, and I look forward to having you back next time. And remember, you are only limited by what you think is possible. Cheering you on always.